Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Isaiah chapter 1. I want to start at verse number 6. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Skip down to verse 15. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. And here's the key verse. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on the thought, he'll get the red out. He'll get the red out. How many has ever heard that phrase or that saying, I've got red in my ledger? Have you ever heard that? A couple people. People a lot of times will make that statement, I've got red in my ledger. And what they mean by that is, I have done things in my life that I am ashamed of. I've got things on my record that I need to get out. And as I began to ponder on that word ledger, I thought, well, I'm going to go a little bit farther than ponder, and I'm going to look it up and see exactly what it means. And the word ledger simply has four basic meanings. The obvious one, of course, number one, is it is a book. It is an accounting book that is used to keep a record of every transaction. Money that comes in, money that goes out. And hopefully when you get to the balanced budget, you're not in the red, but you're in the black, or to the good, so to speak. Another definition that it gave was it was a horizontal piece of wood that construction workers use while working in high places. They use it along with scaffolding. They use it to sit on. They use it to stand on. Another definition of this word ledger was a flat slab of stone that was used, Brother Gene, to cover tombs and graves. I thought that was kind of ironic that that word meant that. And then this one was really the kicker that got me to thinking. It means a weight with a hole in it, better known as a sinker to fishermen. And the line would pass through that hole so as to allow, I mean, I've never seen a sinker like that before, I've used a few. And what it does is it allows the bait and the weight to travel to the bottom of the pond or the riverbed, and that weight lies on the riverbed and allows that bait to float up just a little bit to entice the fish, all the while that weight being out of sight, out of mind. I began to think about all these different definitions of the word ledger. I thought, there's one thing that they all have in common, all those definitions. And that is that there's something in the way. There's something in the way. And I begin to think about this thought that the Lord gave me. He'll get the red out. I want to go back to our key verse of Scripture here. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I looked up these two words in the original Hebrew from this verse of Scripture, scarlet and crimson. And they are translated shani and tola. And they mean, this is probably going to rock your socks, it rocked mine. The definition is an insect or a grub worm, with a technical term known as Coccus alyssus. That is the Hebrew translation of both of those words in this particular verse of Scripture. And basically what this grub worm was used for, it was a term, Coccus alyssus means a term for a dried body of a female grub worm yielding a colored matter which is made that causes them to be able to make a red dye for coloring clothes. Wow, what in the world is that in there for? Why would that definition be there for the two words scarlet and crimson? So I begin to do some digging. And I found out that in God's word right here in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he has cloaked, if you will, the gospel in a bug. He has cloaked the gospel of Jesus Christ in a bug or in a worm, however you want to say it. Several things stand out about this grub worm. Number one, this grub worm was located in the Mediterranean area, found on many different species of the oak tree. That's where you'll find this grub worm. They are round in size, about the size of a pea. They used to crush this grub worm, and it had, as I said, it had a purpose of dyeing a color of red, but it also served another purpose when they crushed it. It contained an antibacterial matter that was used for medicinal purposes in biblical times when someone came in contact with a dead body. I began to think on that, Brother Gene, and I thought about how in this verse of Scripture, God uses something as simplistic as a grub worm to be tied to these two words, scarlet and crimson. And I begin to think about Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, speaking of Jesus. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Yes. Isn't that good? The next thing that stands out about this grub worm is you cannot hardly identify it or recognize it. They say that if you was to happen upon an oak tree that had a grub worm, this particular grub worm, you wouldn't even notice it. Unless you knew what you were looking for, you wouldn't even notice it as being a grub worm. And it brought to mind Isaiah chapter 52, 14. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This is speaking of Jesus and how brutally that he was beaten for something that he did not even do. Isaiah 53, 2 says, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So just like this grub worm, he was unrecognizable. Up to that point in time in history, no other man had been beaten like Jesus had been beaten. The Bible says it right here, what we just read. They could not even make out what he was. He was beaten so bad. And the thing that gets me, Brother Archie, every time we get around the time of Easter is when we really talk about the crucifixion. But every time I think about this, I think and I get a picture in my mind how somebody could beat someone so bad for absolutely no reason at all. But Brother Gene, he was crushed. He allowed his body to be crushed so that his royal blood could flow down that cross and cover a multitude of sins. There was red in the ledger, and there had to be, that debt had to be paid. The debt, the sin debt had to be paid. It could not be paid with the blood of goats and rams. In that first chapter of Isaiah, we touched a little bit, and I challenge you to go home and read that whole chapter, and you'll see what I'm talking about, because God was fed up with Israel's blood sacrifices. In fact, he says it like this. He says, I have no delight in your offerings of goats and rams, and I'm weary of your incense offerings. Nothing could make atonement. Nothing could pay the penalty. Nothing could pay the debt. You've heard the song, he paid a debt he did not owe, but I owed a debt I could not pay, and I needed someone who could wash my sins away. Christ Jesus was the one and the only one that could pay that debt. And so he is the one that took care of the ledger. He's the one that will get the red out. Take it from the red ink back to the black ink, or put you in good standing, so to speak. The next thing I want us to think about as touching this grub worm, and this one really got to me, as a grub worm nears the end of its life cycle, It will find its way to one of those oak trees. It will climb up into the oak tree and fasten itself. Some historians say that it will impale itself to the bark of that tree. And it will remain there, Brother Gene, until it dies so that its eggs can hatch and live. In John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." In John 15, 13, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And in John 19, 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said these words, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. This grub worm, much like Christ, willingly climbs up that oak tree. Brother Herb fastens itself to the oak tree until it dies, willingly, so that its eggs can hatch and live. Jesus willingly allowed himself to be pierced, to be nailed to the cross, willingly to be crushed, his blood to be spilled so that you and I can live. Amen? The final thing about this worm I want us to look at this morning, and this is the part that really got me. The second part of the technical term for this, we called it coccus illicis. The second part of that term, illicis, in Latin. Can anybody guess what it means? It is finished. I'm talking about the gospel in a bug. Only Christ can get the red out. There are many things in our lifetime, Brother Francis, that we can think back and we can thank my Lord, if I had a time machine. If I could just go back, Sister Brenda, there's so many things I could change and make right. So many people that I wronged. I can think of a man in my mind right now when I was in my stupid youth. And he came up to me and he leaned over Brother Archie to the pew. And he said, "The Lord said for you to get up and whatever it was he said for the Lord said for me to do." And I said, "Get away from me." I said, "Lord, I would love to be able to go back in time, Darren, and fix that, because I hurt that man." Later on in years, that man met me with a smile and he still hugged my neck and he still loved me. And I was thankful for that, but Brother Archie, I still wish I could go back and take away those hurtful words. Many of us could think about things in our lifetime, even worse things than that, that we've done. And we think, "Lord, if you just let me go back, I'll fix it. If you just give me another chance to make it right, I'll make it right. I won't make that same mistake." I don't know if I'm just talking about me this morning. I don't think I am. But I'm here to tell you that only Jesus can get the red out. Yeah. Only Jesus can write the ledger. We make mistakes every day of our lifetime. I've heard a person one time say, "Brother Gene," they said, "well, them Pentecostals, they believe in being baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And this is the problem that they have with it." I've actually heard them tell me this, Brother Archie. "Well, I believe if you really got, quote, baptized in the Holy Ghost and you're speaking in tongues, you're never, ever, ever going to make another mistake." Somehow that makes you like Jesus because you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've heard some people say that. These same people believe in being sanctified. Now, they're not of the Pentecostal persuasion. They're a different denomination. But they just as vehemently believe in being sanctified. Well, what's the difference? If you're sanctified, then I guess you're not going to make another mistake the rest of the time that you live as well. It ain't about what we can do. That's why the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Jesus Christ is the only one that can get the red out. And I think a lot of times what happens, Brother Gene, is the devil uses God's people's past to haunt them and to keep them neutralized in a place where they feel like they can't do anything, Sister Darlene, for the gospel's sake. That's exactly where the devil wants us to be. And as if that ain't bad enough, sometimes he'll use God's own people. I know that sounds crazy. They don't even a lot of times realize what they're doing. But a lot of times he'll use God's own people, the devil will, to cast judgment and become a stumbling block for people to stumble over. Paul addressed this in the Bible. He was talking about the meat. He said some men give latitude for eating meat in their life and other men don't. He said, "Let not the brother who doesn't believe in meat destroy the brother who believes in it." And at the same time, don't let the brother who believes in eating meat destroy the brother who doesn't believe in it. You see, what he's saying in a nutshell is we're all God's children. And not everybody's going to tick the same way. Not everybody's going to walk the same way. Not everybody's going to look the same way. And thank God for that, because if that was the case, we'd be one big cult, wouldn't we? Only Jesus can get the red out. Matthew 26 and 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Romans 5, 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved, and I love this part, from the wrath through him. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And finally in Revelation 1, 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm talking about this morning getting the red out. And only Jesus can get the red out. When Jesus' red touches our red, it becomes whiter than snow. What does that mean, Brother Jimmy? What that means is that all those things that took place in our past, they're just that, they're the past. The Apostle Paul said, I press on towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. I don't look behind me. That's what the devil wants me to do, Brother Gene. So many times we see our kids get in church and they seem like they're doing well for a time, and all of a sudden here comes the devil and kicks them down again. Begins to remind them of their faults, their past, their failures. Jesus don't want you looking in the past at your faults and your failures. He wants you to look unto him, because he alone is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Only he can get the red out of our ledger. Amen. Many places across the land right now, there are churches who are hooping and hollering, caught up in the emotion, caught up in the moment, running the aisles, and you all know I love to shout. I love it when the Holy Ghost comes down and we shout. But there's a lot of churches today, Sister Brenda, that's all they do. And you'll hear them say, "Well, bless God, we've went 6 weeks now and the preacher's not got to preach." Honey, there's a problem. If you're not getting fed, if that preacher's not preaching, if every service is nothing but hooping and hollering and jumping up and down and running the aisles and carrying on, well, the Apostle Paul addressed that too. He said, what are you going to do when the ignorant and the unlearned walk in the door and they see these kinds of things going on? They're going to think you're mad. This one's jumping up, talking in tongues. That one's jumping up, talking. The guy behind the pulpit's telling this one to shut up and telling that one to talk and telling that one to run. God's not in that. That's emotion. That's look at me. What can I do to attract attention to myself? Jesus is the only one that can get the red out of our ledger. We can't shout it out, folks. We can't sing it out. We can't play it out. There's churches that's got the best, quote, Christian comedians around, and they get them in their church and they pack the place out. But when he leaves, they leave with him. Because only Jesus can get the red out. Just as the grub worm is willingly crushed on the tree so that its eggs can hatch and live, Jesus willingly laid down his life on the cross. It's not a popular message much anymore. You don't hear a lot of pastors preaching on the cross. They're busy preaching on foolishness. And I use the word preaching very loosely, because there's a lot of things that's not the word that they're propagating from the pulpit. On both sides. On both sides. What do you mean both sides? Well, on the strict side and on the liberal side. There's things being promoted from the pulpit that ought not be promoted, because it's simply not in God's word. What needs to be preached, and the Apostle Paul again set this straight. When I came unto you preaching, I came preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. I purpose not to know
anything else among you except that. Well, that is the problem a lot today on, again, both sides. So many people trying to meddle in other people's business. So many people trying to line them up on the strict side and on the liberal side. So many people trying to brainwash them and say, we've got to compromise here. We've got to compromise there. We've got to reach out and accept the homosexual. We've got to reach out and accept Islam. We've got to reach out and accept all these other faiths. But Christianity is hated. It is being put down on every hand. Christians are being butchered as I speak. Amen. Why? Because the truth has ceased from being preached in the pulpits. We're more concerned about a purpose-driven life. We're more on this side concerned about what somebody's wearing. Jesus sat with the drunks. They called him a wine bibber. On the loose side, Jesus said, there's but one way. No such thing as the purpose-driven life. There's no such thing as finding common grounds amongst the religions. When it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no common ground. Because the Bible said there's one way, one way, one way. It's a straight and a narrow way. And few there be that find it. Yes. I've heard a few preachers lately say this, and I agree with them. They said, when Jesus comes back, and I want you to listen to this. He said there's going to be a lot of pastors still preaching in their churches. And there's going to be a lot of Christians still seated in the pew. You see, we cannot water the Word of God down to suit our lifestyle, Brother Archie. We cannot twist and turn God's Word to cause people to become acclimated to our atmosphere. Allow me to accommodate you here. Allow me to accommodate you there. Again, on both sides. If you dress like we dress, if you walk like we walk, if you believe it like we believe it, we'll make you feel comfortable. If not, you're going to feel like a fish out of water. On the other side, if you let us bring in our rock and roll music, if you let us have our flash pots, if you let us have our comedians, if you let us dress like a harlot, if you let us do these things, well, then we'll pack the place out. Somewhere there's a balance. Somewhere there's a man who's keeping the ledger. And there's only one who can get the red out. There's only one pure religion today. And I go back to what I just said earlier. If we'll just stick to the script. If we'll just keep preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That it's through and only by His blood. And the vicarious, efficacious embodiment that He Himself accomplished at the cross. What is so important about the cross? People might ask, what's so important? It's a hunk of wood. On the other side, the loose side, they say it is a place of defeat. Thank God on the conservative side, they're still saying it's a place of victory. We need to preach the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not concerned, Brother Mark, whether I stand up here Sunday after Sunday and preach in such a way that people are running the aisles and shouting their shoes off. What I'm concerned about is that what I'm saying from this pulpit is really and truly coming from the Word of God, that I've not changed one jot or one tittle of what the Word of God says. That's what I'm concerned about. And He said that He's going to judge His pastors. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of pastors whose hands are going to be red on that day because they're willing to close, make a blinded eye, so to speak, just so they can get that big offering. Someone walks in the back door and they stink from puke and alcohol. They ignore them. But someone else walks in with a fancy three-piece suit on, with a rock on every finger. They'll put them on the front pew. Yeah. That's not Jesus Christ.
Only Jesus can get the red out. And you might be thinking, what a peculiar message that he would be preaching. You know, I've learned a long time ago, folks, you can't judge a book by its cover. There's a lot of people today in the church that they go through the motions. They put on a good act. They appear before people as being a holy Joe, whatever you want to call it. I lived with a father for years that hypocrited all of his life. And we would go to churches, and sad to say, 90% or better of the people didn't know the difference, Sister Brenda. He would stand on the platform and go through the motions. And on the way home, he would cuss us kids out and other things that I won't mention. There are people today that are in churches that people look at them and say, wow, aren't they a nice Christian? Don't they look nice this morning? Aren't they dressed so nice and so elegant, and they always got a smile on their face, and they just make you feel right at home? But you don't know the real person. Only Jesus can get the red out. And so I learned a long time ago, I don't question when God lays these messages upon my heart. Brother Gene, I don't question them, because to me, I can look around and say, everybody in the house this morning saved. But you know what? I'm not God. I can hope that everyone in the house is saved, but only he really knows if you're ready to break gravity. And I think if there's ever a time that we need to know the time, that it is high time that we awake out of our sleep. Because right now is our salvation nearer to us than what we really realize. I think, and I'll close on this morning, I think what happens a lot of times, and again, going back to these false preachers and teachers, there's so many men today trying to put a date on the coming of the Lord. So many false teachers and preachers giving anecdotes, if you will, and formulas that they have formulated that will pinpoint when Christ is going to come back. But my Bible still tells me no man knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man is coming. And so what happens, I said that to make this remark, what happens is they get them excited for a time period. And they get them stoked and ready, quote, to go. And when that date rolls around and Jesus has not returned, then the scripture comes into full play. And he said that they will say in their heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. My Lord delayeth his coming. Why do they say that? Well, there's a lot of reasons for it, but I believe the number one reason for it is the truth is not being preached. He said, be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What that means, Brother Archie, is that we've got to be ready at all times. We can't be looking for a specific date. We can't be looking for something specific to happen with Israel. We can't be looking for this or that. What we've got to look at is Jesus could come back before I finish this next sentence. Yes. That is what it means to be ready. That is what it means to be ready. And only Jesus can get the red out. Amen. No other gospel, no other way, no other word. Regardless of who the preacher is, regardless of how big his status is, regardless of how big his congregation is, regardless of how many years he's been around or she's been around, only Jesus can get the red out this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful that you've helped me this morning to get through this. I pray, Lord God, that, Lord, it will find lodging in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, you always have a reason. You always have a purpose, Lord, for every word.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Saved by grace. His love. HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.